we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam,
Canto 4, Chapter 24, Chanting the Song sung by Lord Shiva.
I believe
we're reading verse number
34.
So let's chant the verse together. Nama Pankajana Bhaya. Bhuta Sukshmendriyatmane. Vasudevaya Shantaya. Kutastaya Svarochishe. Okay, what's it mean? Nama.
Namaha.
All obeisances unto you.
Все поштування тебе.
Pankajanabhaya.
Pankajanabhaya.
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Святой Божанской особи.
From whose navel the lotus flower emanates.
Из чьих пупка израста лотосов цвет.
Bhuta Sukshma.
Bhuta Sukshma.
The sense objects.
Чулні об'єкти.
Indriya.
Indriya.
The senses.
Осетила.
Atmane.
Atmane.
The origin.
Izvor.
Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Unto Lord Vasudeva.
Господину Васудеві.
Shantaya,
Shantaya,
always peaceful.
Кој увек мирен.
Kutastaya,
Kutastaya,
without being changed.
Кој е непроменлив.
Сварочише,
Сварочише,
unto the supreme illumination.
Оном кој се осветлива.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C.
Bhaktivedanta
Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Translation. My Lord, you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. You are the supreme controller of the senses and the sense objects. And you are also the all-pervading Vasudeva. You are most peaceful. And because of your self-illuminated existence, you are not disturbed by the six kinds of transformation. Purport. The Lord, as Garbhodakshaya
Vishnu,
lies in the ocean of Garbha within the universe. And from his navel, the lotus flower sprouts.
Израста лотос в цвет.
Lord Brahma is generated from that lotus flower.
Я роджен на тому лотосовому цвету.
And from Lord Brahma, the creation of this material world begins.
Створення овог матеріального світу започення.
As such, the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Garbhodakshaya
Vishnu, is the origin of the material senses and sense objects.
Узрок матеріальних чула і матеріальних чулних об'єктів.
Since Lord Shiva considers himself to be one of the products of the material world, his senses are under the control of the Supreme Creator. The Supreme Lord is also known as
Hrishikesha,
Master of the Senses, which indicates that our senses and sense objects are formed by the Supreme Lord. As such, He can control our senses and out of His mercy engage them in the service of the Master of the Senses. In the conditioned state, the living entity struggles in this material world and engages his senses for material satisfaction. However, if the living entity is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can engage these very senses in the service of the Lord. Lord Shiva desires Shiva not to be misled by the material senses, but to engage always in the service of the Lord. without being subject to contamination by materialistic
influences.
By the grace and help of Lord Vasudeva, who is all-pervading, one can engage his senses in devotional service without deviation, just as the Lord acts without deviation. The words shantaya, kutastaya, svarotinshe are very significant. Although the Lord is within this material world, He is not disturbed by the waves of material existence. However, conditioned souls are agitated by six kinds of transformations, namely, they become agitated when they are hungry, when they are thirsty, when they are aggrieved, when they are illusioned, when they grow old, and when they are on the deathbed. Although conditioned souls become very easily illusioned by these conditions in the material world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Supersoul, Vasudeva, is never agitated by these transformations. Therefore, it is said here, kuta staya, that he is always peaceful and devoid of agitation because of his prowess. His prowess, which is described herein as svarotchishe, indicating that he is illuminated by his own transcendental position. In other words, the individual soul, although within the illumination of the Supreme, sometimes falls down from that illumination because of his tiny position. And when he falls down, he enters into material conditional life. The Lord, however, is not subject to such conditioning. Therefore, he is described as self-illuminated. Consequently, any conditioned soul within this material universe can remain completely perfect when he is under the protection of Vasudeva or when he is engaged in devotional service. And thus ends Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, which again is as follows. Nama pankajana bhaya bhuta sukshmendriyatmane vasudevaya shantaya kuta staya svarochishe. My Lord, you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. You are the supreme controller of the senses and the sense objects, and you are also the all-pervading Vasudeva. You are most peaceful. And because of your self-illuminated existence, you are not disturbed by the six kinds of transformation. Lord Shiva is continuing with his prayers to the Supreme Lord, addressed here by many epithets. One way we can see these prayers is as explanation for why to pray to Krishna.
Разлога зашто да се обче молимо Кришне, Вишну, Вишну,
Васудеви, the prayers to a large extent are describing the Lord, describing His qualifications,
описуе негове квалитете,
identifying the Lord as the supreme and therefore qualified to be offered respects and prayers too. From the previous prayer, the first of the prayers, I believe, yes. Lord Shiva is praying for auspiciousness. Shiva, the name Shiva means auspicious. And he's praying for svasti,
for
another word for auspiciousness. So similarly, we may pray to the Lord for auspiciousness. What is auspiciousness? That's described in the Nectar of Devotion as one of the results that comes from performance of pure devotional service. The first is that one becomes relieved from
the kleshas, the
troubles that trouble conditioned souls.
And the second is
shubhada. Devotional service is shubhada.
Shubhada,
giving of shubha, of
auspiciousness.
That auspiciousness, we can say, has many meanings, but essentially for devotees it means making a situation favorable for engaging in devotional service, for doing that which we are meant to do.
As living entities,
we are eternal servants of Krishna.
So when our
the possibility is somehow destructed, obstructed, or seems to be obstructed. More accurately, when we allow our natural propensity to serve the Lord to be obstructed by our own ignorance, our own forgetfulness, our own neglect of the Lord's supreme position, that is inauspiciousness. So auspiciousness is favorable conditions for doing devotional service, which can come about by our own desire that those favorable conditions happen. So many times we find all manner of reasons why it is difficult to perform devotional service, isn't it? We are very expert in this regard, in finding reasons why we cannot do devotional service. So many obstructions are there. Especially the time factor. We say no time.
Vrijeme.
I am so busy just maintaining myself, surviving.
Zauzet, preživljavajući.
So, what's the solution? The solution is to pray to Krishna.
Rješenje je moliti se Krishna.
Krishna, I'm in a situation in which so many obstacles are there. Please remove those obstacles so that I can engage in my natural activity of hearing and chanting and remembering you. And in this way I will be happy, my situation will be fasti, will be favorable. Prahlad Maharaj also prays, but he doesn't pray just for himself. As we know, Prahlad had this incredible selflessness that he would pray for the whole universe. Svasyastu vishvasya kala prasidatam jayantu bhutani shivam mitodiyaha manascha vadram vajitharat hokshaje aveshatam no matir apyahetuki. He says, let there be auspiciousness for the whole world, and let everyone, including those who are envious, lose their envy and be engaged in devotional service. He says, let everybody be happy. Let everyone give up their madness. So, like that, the devotee is praying not for him or herself alone, but also for others and ideally for the whole world. In this spirit of wanting auspiciousness, wanting the best for everyone, the devotee is able to convey to others the mercy of the Lord. One of the words of this verse is kutastha, kutasthaya, unto he who stands,
kuta,
literally on a hill or a mountain or some upraised position. We have a festival every year, Annakuta, which goes with Govardhan Puja. Annakuta is making a pile,
kuta,
of anna, of food,
or grains. ili žita.
So Krishna is kurta star. Krishna he is kurta situated star. On a hill, on the top of a mountain, you can say literally.
Doslovno.
But what it comes to mean is he
to
who
znači
is...
Zapravo? To znači onaj koji je...
He who's on top and who remains on top.
Na vrhu I koji ostaje
on
na vrhu.
Top of the pile.
Na vrhu.
That's Krishna.
Hrpe.
Krishna remains on
Krishna
top of the pile.
Na vrhu hrpe.
On top of things, we
na
say in English.
Svega.
To keep on top of things.
Ima taj izraz na engleskom.
You know, keep...
Ostati na vrhu.
Control, to not
to
be
znači,
bewildered.
Biti, ne, držati stvari pod
so Prabhupada translates in the word for word, kutastaya, unto he is
onome
who is like this,
koji,
without being changed,
koji je nepromjenljiv,
being fixed,
koji,
so always being.
Utemeljen, znači,
Krishna is a supreme controller,
Krishna
means he's always a supreme controller,
znači,
he's always in control.
Uvijek drži stvari
and
pod
we are
kontrolom.
The opposite of that. We are
mi smo
always
suprotno od toga. Mi smo uvijek
we are always losing it.
Nama se stvari uvijek izmiču kontrolom.
In English, when the emotions become
kada
out of control,
dođu,
we say,
se izmaknu kontrolu,
he lost it.
Onda, izmiču kontroli, kažu, da,
do you say
it.
Something like that in
well,
Croatian?
I'm not really no. certain. I don't think...
anyway. So Krishna never loses it.
Krishna,
never,
nikad, Krishna never, se nikad ne izmiče stvari kontroli.
And therefore he is always peaceful. Shantaya unto
miran.
He who is
Shantaya
Shanta, who is peace personified. It's always peaceful.
Personificirani mir, otjelovljeni mir.
So when we are feeling not peaceful,
kada nismo
that's the time to turn to he who is peaceful.
Dolazi
oh, my
vrijeme
dear
da
Lord,
se okrenemo onome
you
koji
are always
je.
Peaceful because you are peace itself.
Miran, ti si sami
kindly
mir.
Bestow
ljubazno,
that peace upon me.
Taj mir
again,
također,
so that I can engage in your devotional service. Give me a peace of mind
molim
that allows
da
me
mir
to
uma koji će me
remember you.
Da te se sjećam,
if
da
I can't
se sjećam,
be peaceful to remember you,
mogu,
please let
a,
me remember
biti miran, da se sjećam tebe,
that there's someone,
da dozvoli mi
there's
da se
someone
sjećam,
out there
da postoji neko tamo
who is peaceful.
Koji je miran.
I don't see
ja ne vidim,
him, perhaps I'm forgetting
ne vidim,
him, but he's
ga,
there.
Ali on
let me remember that much.
Dozvolim
then
da
I'll
se
become peaceful
toliko,
enough so that I can remember that
da
that is you,
sjećati da ta osoba koja je mirna, tamo negdje daleko si ti, Krishna.
In this way.
I na taj način.
And nama pankajanabhaya unto you who
tebi,
have as
koji
a
imaš,
navel
pupak,
a lotus, literally. You whose navel is a lotus navel.
Pankaja,
that which is ja born from the mud, literally, which
Pankaja,
means a lotus.
Znači, onaj,
lotuses
to
are born out of mud.
Koji je, se rađa iz blata.
And nabha means navel.
A nabha,
and sometimes
znači pupak.
The sky is compared to or identified with the navel. The
nebo
sky itself is the navel of the universe, the
ne,
navel of the Lord.
Sa
and if you want to, if you're having
pupak,
trouble
gospodno,
remembering
iako imate
Krishna,
sa se sjećanjem na Krishna,
and at the same time you're
vrijeme,
looking at the sky,
gledate u nebo,
then you can think,
onda
aha,
se
sky, navel of Garbhodakshaya
Vishnu.
That navel is
taj pupak
compared to a lotus, and
sa
from
lotusom,
that navel a lotus is coming, and from that
lotus
is coming Lord Brahma,
Brahma,
and from
dolazi,
Lord Brahma
Brahma
is coming all of us.
Svi mi se pojavljujemo.
So in this way we can think of Krishna as the cause of all causes,
kao uzroku svih uzroku,
including all of the troubles that we experience in life. We experience various troubles. That's what material life is about.
Cause of the cause.
If we look at immediate causes,
ako gledamo na neposredne uzroke,
we will never be
nikad nećemo
peaceful.
Biti mirni.
Because immediate causes of troubles are always something that we want to fight against. And that fighting spirit means opposite of
znači,
peace. And as Krishna
mira,
explains in the Gita, without
Giti,
peace there is no question
mira,
of happiness. Or rather, puts it in the form of a question.
Says,
how can there be happiness without peace?
Kako može biti
so
bez mira?
The immediate causes of our experiences
naših iskustava,
and especially our troubles,
naših nevolja,
if we think of them as the
njima,
ultimate cause, then we'll always be disturbed.
Uvijek ćemo biti uznemireni.
How can we be happy if that's
sretni?
Our perception of things?
Ako tako
so, Lord Shiva is reminding us.
I zato nas Shiva podsjeća.
Remember the cause of all causes.
Sjećaj se uzroka svih uzroka.
Offer him your respects,
njemu
your
odaj poštovanje.
Remember that he is always
sjeti
in that condition of peacefulness and control,
miran,
which you are not
uvijek drži
in.
Stvari pod kontrolom, za
and by that
tebe,
remembrance, then
se,
you will also
način,
become properly situated.
Pravilno utemeljen.
All right, I thought
dobro,
to shift a little to
malo
step back from
se,
this verse and indeed step
stiha,
back from this chapter to
poglavlja,
look at the fourth canto as a whole,
kao
to give a bit of an overview of the fourth canto. The fourth canto is one of 12 cantos
od
of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatama.
And as we read the Bhagavatam,
I dok čitamo Bhagavatam,
we sometimes
mi
get a sense that it's a bit much.
Otisak da je to,
and
malo
sometimes
previše.
This leads us to think
I ponekad nas to vodi do misli,
it's too much and therefore
da je,
I'll sort of stop reading
malo previše i prestaću ga čitati.
Here I am wading through
evo,
the fourth canto.
Ja,
once again, Maitreya Rishi is speaking. How many times? Maitreya Uvacha. You know, I think I've heard enough of Maitreya Rishi for this lifetime.
So,
sometimes we think like that. And at such times, I find it useful to kind of step back and sort of get the bigger picture of what's going on
in the
chapter, the canto, the section of the Bhagavatam. This is a nice way to help one get back into it, get back into the verses, the purports, the ideas that the Bhagavatam is the message that the Bhagavatam is giving us.
Nam prenosi.
Yeah. One general point about the fourth canto was nicely explained a few weeks ago by Bhaktivedanta Goswami and Aventur, that actually he was speaking of the third canto and the fourth canto. The third canto, he explained, is a totality is a refutation of Charvak, of the philosophy of atheism, sometimes called Lokayata philosophy, and a refutation of Sankhya in its classical forms. Classical Sankhya is atheistic, non-theistic. It's usually understood to be that way. Yoga philosophy, which is often associated with Sankhya, can be seen as theistic, and Ishvara Pranidhana, the offering or approaching of the Lord, the meditation on the Lord, which is prescribed in Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, is a kind of indicator that the system is theistic. At the same time, the sort of theism that yoga philosophy gives is
yoga filozofija
daje, you could call minimalistic
theism.
It's as minimal as you can get. Okay, maybe there's a God. If there's a God, let's meditate on him. Why? Because that will help us in our yoga practice. Right? So that sort of approach is obviously not that of the bhakta of the Vaishnava. And Sankhya, puts a supreme personality even further in the background, if not totally in the background, out of sight, out of mind, is very much refuted in the third canto, where
ona se pobija kapila u trećem pjevanju Bhagavatam.
Devahuti kapila.
Devahuti kapila.
Comes forth with the most theistic of Sankhya that can be imagined. It's
najteističkijom Sankhyom koja se može
zamisliti. Ona je prožeta
teizmom.
And it's yoga.
Sankhya
and
i yoga koju on preporuča su teistički.
And so what makes that the whole section of the kapila teachings interesting is this fact, if one is aware that what he's doing is refuting something, then one can appreciate the refutation is very nicely done, very thoroughly done. Now the fourth canto is a refutation of Purva
Mimamsa.
And some of you will know of the six darshans, the usually what's listed as the first is Purva Mimamsa. And Purva Mimamsa essentially says, don't worry about whether there's a God or not, you have to work. Of course, I'm oversimplifying. Purva Mimamsa is a very, very elaborate system of philosophy, which is not entirely rejected by our Vaishnava Acharyas by any means. Only the conclusion is rejected. But the system as a means of understanding Veda is very much taken on board. It's very much valued by the Vaishnava Acharyas.
Od naših acharya.
The essential idea of Purva Mimamsa, or the assumption of Purva Mimamsa's conclusion is, it is our nature to be self-interested, selfish. We are selfish beings. Let's face it. That's Purva Mimamsa. Since we are selfish beings, let's do the very best we can to make the most of this situation. Let's go on being selfish, but let's do it in a very first class, let's be selfish in a first class way. How to be selfish in a first class way is prescribed in the Vedic literature that one should perform sacrifice. If one performs sacrifice, there are certain rewards, you will get those rewards, you will be happy. And then this will allow you to do what? It will allow you to continue performing sacrifice, and this is a good thing because this maintains the universe. And if we can maintain the universe, then all of us can be happy together being selfish. We can all happily be selfish together. That's Purva Mimamsa. And if there's a God,
Boga,
let's keep him out of the picture because we don't want him to interfere
predstave,
with the rewards that we will get by performing sacrifice. We may perform sacrifice for Vishnu. We can satisfy him so that he will satisfy us. After all, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Saha yagya praja shishtva purovacha prajapati. Anina prasavishadvam eshvostvishta kamaduk. I am giving you this world. I am giving you sacrifice. By this sacrifice, be fruitful and multiply. Prasavishadvam essentially means be fruitful and multiply. And in this way, eshavaha, ishta kamaduk, your kamaduk, the wish-fulfilling cow, will be yours. You will get what you want.
Krishna
says it.
Krishna to kaže.
So this is Purva Mimamsa.
To je Purva Mimamsa.
Well, all of that is essentially refuted in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. Especially, we see this toward the end of the fourth canto in the discussion of King Puranjana. But one could say that the entire canto builds up to that story that allegory
of Puranjana.
But what do we have in the beginning? After the first chapter of genealogy,
genealogy,
which is a, it's what Puranas do generally. Puranas give genealogies. Kings and their wives have children who become kings with their wives. They have children and on and on. And in this way, progressions of genealogy are described and history is maintained by this. With the Bhagavatam, the same is done as with other major Puranas, and the focus is always on the highlights of those genealogies, the kings who are specific, who become or who are devotees. So the first of these that we hear of in the fourth canto, who we can say becomes a devotee, and I like to say it's a, you know, Hare Krishna success story, is the story of Daksha.
To je priča o Dakshi.
Yeah, I was I'm mixing up Daksha and Dhruva. Daksha comes first. The whole story of the Daksha Yagya. And here we get, of course, we all know the story. Daksha, Shiva. Daksha is being neglectful of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is revealed to be this great devotee who should not be offended. Sati, the wife of Shiva, becomes very offended to the point that she decides the best thing to do to solve this conflict between her husband and her father is for her to give up her body. So she performs sati, what comes to be known as sati. She burns herself in a yogic fire out of protest, self-protest, self-destruction. And ultimately then, Daksha comes to his senses, and at one point the word prema is used, prema vivalita. He becomes overwhelmed with prema, with love, upon seeing Lord Shiva. At the end, there's this very sweet scene of Daksha offering his respects to Lord Shiva and begging his forgiveness. So it's a happy ending, where he realizes, after he's had his head chopped off and had a goat head put on in his place and a few other minor disturbances, more or less a war breaks out, another war breaks out, it's quite a disturbance. The ending is a happy one because he comes to realize, yes, I made a mistake. He admits his mistake and life can go on and he can perform his sacrifice as he intended to do in the beginning, and now Lord Shiva is part of the sacrifice. Alright, so that's one story in the beginning,
jedna priča, na početku,
where it's all happening within a situation of performance of sacrifice. And this will come
žrtvanje
again and again. There's some kind of sacrifice, there's a problem with the sacrifice, and then there's a disruption, and then there's some kind of solution.
I onda rješenje.
After this,
nakon toga,
we get
dobijamo
some more lists of descendants of genealogy coming from Svayambhuva Manu. So we get oriented cosmically in terms of time. One of the Manus, we're in the Svayambhuva
Manu.
And he marries Shatarupa, she with 100 forms, literally.
And
they have two sons, Uttanapada and Priyavrata. And it's Uttanapada who then is elaborated on in the next chapters about his son, Dhruva Maharaj. And then Uttanapada will be described, and then his pastimes will be described in the fifth canto. Well, what happens with Dhruva, we all know. He gets upset because It's his brother and not himself who's sitting on the lap of his father. Why is that? Because the favorite wife of his father, Uttanapada, is, what's her name? Suruchi.
Suruchi.
Rather than his own mother, Suniti. And what this means is that it's going to be Uttama, who will gain the kingdom. He will be the successor to
Uttanapada.
Now, this is a kind of conflict which one can take as a bit of an echo, if you like, the main story that's happening in the
Mahabharata.
What's happening in the Mahabharata? There is a conflict between two sides of a family. And what is the conflict about? It's about kingdom. Who is going to rule the kingdom? Will it be the Pandavas or will it be the Kauravas? The conclusion is there has to be a war, and in the end of the war, everybody is destroyed. And even after the war, then even the Yadus are destroyed, everyone is destroyed. It's a mess. Now, step back for a moment and consider. Who is talking here in the fourth canto? Maitreya Rishi. Who is Maitreya speaking to?
Kome on govori? Maitreya govori?
Vidura.
To Viduri.
And where is Vidura?
A gdje je Vidura?
Or where is Vidura not?
A gdje je Vidura?
I can say. Vidura is not at home.
He
left
Vidura
home.
Nije kuć.
Why?
On
because of an insult.
Zašto
by whom?
Uvrede Duryodhana.
Duryodhana. He decided the best thing for him to do is to go on pilgrimage. So he went on pilgrimage, he went up all around, and eventually went up into the Himalayas. And in the Himalayas, he met
Uddhava,
and he also met Maitreya Rishi. And then they have a discussion. And the discussion is most of the third and the fourth cantos, and maybe part of the fifth canto. All of that is going on when? It's going on while there's a war going on down the mountain in Kurukshetra, a huge war where everyone's being destroyed. So Vidura is keeping away from all of that madness that's going on in the fight between these two sides of the family, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. He's hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Maitreya Rishi. Afterwards, he's going to come back and he will meet his family, the survivors, Dhritarashtra. And what will he do? He's going to preach to Dhritarashtra. Hey, Dhritarashtra, you're just like a dog taking scraps from Yudhishthira. It's time for you to leave home. So this is the story of Dhruva, and Uttama is a kind of reflection, a kind of echo of what's going on down the mountain. Oops. Okay, we're back. It's a kind of an echo of what's going on in the bigger field, you could say, of the story of the Mahabharata. The relation of the Bhagavatam to the Mahabharata is really very interesting. It's something I'm working on and plan to write a paper for, an academic paper. It's happening sort of during, and it's also happening after the war. It's a kind of commentary on the Mahabharata. It's a recap at the same time. Okay, so Dhruva. Now Dhruva is one of the many devotional heroes of the Bhagavatam. And he's a very interesting hero because of his austerity. He is our emblem of devotional super austerity. He's the one that we, the example that we don't follow. because we don't sit in the forest and simply fast eating berries once every other day and then drinking water only and then only breathing and then only breathing once every 6 months. This is what we don't do. But we admire him. And we glorify him because he was so determined. It's the determination of Dhruva Maharaj that we celebrate more than the actual austerities. We look with admiration at the austerities and we say, I don't think I'll manage that, especially on Dvadashi morning. After I performed such incredible austerities yesterday, Ekadashi, I fasted all day from grains. Amazing. So, but we admire him for his austerity, for his determination. And the reward for his determination was, of course, that the Lord himself appeared. And he bonked him on the head with a conch. And then Dhruva Maharaj offered wonderful prayers to the Lord. And then the Lord, after appearing, he disappeared. One of the themes of the cant of the Bhagavatam in general is the appearance of the Lord and his disappearance, and then the feeling of separation the Lord, the devotee feels. Separation and loss is coming again and again. This is another happy ending story. Dhruva Maharaj returns home after he's seen the Lord. His father is so happy. Again, the word prema vihvala is there. His father becomes overwhelmed with prema, seeing his son. He embraces him. Dhruva is now also reconciled with Uttama, his brother, so much so that Dhruva Maharaj becomes angry when Uttama is killed by yakshas, so that Dhruva Maharaj decides this has to be revenged, and he goes on a mad rampage to kill all the yakshas until Lord Brahma comes. Is it Brahma? I think comes and pacifies him and says, okay, cool it, that's enough. You're Dhruva Maharaj, you're a devotee, don't forget. So don't get out of hand. Okay, then we have the story of King Vena. Again, trouble. What are kings supposed to do? Kings are supposed to protect their citizens. Kings are supposed to perform sacrifice. What does Venu do? Just the opposite. He doesn't protect anyone, he destroys. What does he do? Does he perform sacrifice? No, he stops all the sacrifice. He forbids sacrifice. He makes laws against performing sacrifice. And in this way, he makes nothing but trouble. What to do? Get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
So the Brahmins come together and they say, we have to get rid of this guy. He was a big mistake.
All right.
So chant some mantras and goodbye Vena. And we won't just throw him on a funeral pyre yet. First, we'll get the best out of him that we can. After all, he was a king.
Let's
make the best of a bad bargain. Let's churn him, churn his body. I don't quite know how you do this, but you take apparently the limbs and somehow you do some churning action. And out of this churning action you want to get some nectar. And sure enough, nectar came in the form of Prithu Maharaj. And the lady who eventually becomes his wife, even though in one sense they are brother and sister, because they're coming from the same.
But
anyway, Archa.
Archie
becomes wife, husband and wife, and then they rule the kingdom very wonderfully. Prithu Maharaj Pritom he also being on također, kingly and kshatriya and having kshatriya, this kind of spirit, sometimes odlike, a bit of a on, short temper, on becomes nekad, angry at the earth. Why?
Zemlju,
because
zašto?
The earth has become overgrown,
jungle, zarasla,
and too many mountains, let's level them.
Planina ima,
we want fields,
ravnama,
we want to be able
polja,
to do agriculture.
Želimo,
eventually he also does some churning of the earth. All of this makes Prithu Maharaj the original ecologist.
Izvornim ekologistom.
The original eco-activist.
Izvornim eco-activistom.
And it is Prithu Maharaj who is our ideal teacher of the citizens.
Učitelj,
and what does he teach his citizens?
Ne,
he teaches them to perform their duties.
Varnashram,
dharma, ki,
jaiho.
He tells them...
On im govori.
He tells them nothing radical at all. He says, there is Varnashram, and you have your positions within the Varnashram. Just do it. And at the same time, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's it basically his instruction. And the wonderful thing is that he says this, that he, as the king, as the leader, makes these points. That is an ideal that... the devotees hope one day the leaders of the world will understand and appreciate and follow. Okay, Prithu Maharaj also gives 100, performs 100 horse sacrifice, Ashwamedha. There's trouble with this sacrifice as well. Because
Indra
gets worried. Somebody is going to take my position. Indra is like that. He tends to be nervous. Indra is the emblem of... of insecurity,
nesigurnosti,
who is very attached to his position. And so he's always undertaking different intrigues in order to make sure he can keep his position. Well, of course, he always loses it anyway. We have Daksha losing his head in one way, we have Indra losing his head in another way, not physically, but we say in English, you lose your head when you go mad or crazy. Anyway, that's all worked out. Indra realizes he's made a mistake,
na kraju,
and Prithu is able to finish sacrifices.
Prithu završava svoje
žrtvovanje. So that's all very well. Sacrifices can go on when there is a devotee at the head of things,
kada
but
bakta koji
still there's
stvarima.
A sense that this whole process of sacrificing is really very difficult.
Da shvaćamo, da je cijela, ta,
and the conclusion
vrlo složen,
that will come
vrlo težak,
in the final section
u,
story of King Puranjan,
odjeljku, u
of course,
priči o Puranjan,
summarizing extremely here, is that this whole business of sacrifice is really not very good at all.
Nije
why
dobar.
Is that? Because
zašto?
Sacrifice...
Zato što
traditionally, classic sacrifice involves the killing of animals, and the king, Prachina Barhishat, is being told by Narada Muni in this case, this story of King Puranjana, essentially to make him understand what material life is about, how material existence is a huge mistake, it will implicate you in the sins that you have performed throughout your life. These sins in the form of killing of animals, which you thought was so religious, is actually going to destroy your life. So all of that, again, is to refute Purva Mimamsa. So for all of you Purva Mimamsakas, obviously we're not really thinking of ourselves that way.
Sorry,
but just in case,
the
Bhagavatam 4th canto, it's also meant for us, even though we may not be so convinced of Purva Mimamsa ourselves. The idea that really, human life is about selfish interest. It's very deeply ingrained in us. And to overcome this, we study the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that we understand, yes, this life is for surrender unto the Supreme Lord, who is that person described in this verse today and so many more verses of Lord Shiva's prayers. Nama Pankajanamaya Bhuta Subshmendriyatmane Vasudevaya Shantaya Kutastaya Svarochishe. My Lord, you are the origin of the creation by virtue of the lotus flower which sprouts from your navel. You are the supreme controller of the senses and the sense objects. You are also the all-pervading Vasudeva. You are most peaceful. And because of your self-illuminated existence, you are not disturbed by the six kinds of transformation. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaura Premanande. We're very close to 9 o'clock by my watch. I think we should stop unless there's a burning question.
Skoro je 9 sati. Tako da mislim da trebamo stati ukoliko ne postoji vrlo, kako se to kaže, vruće pitanje. So
we'll be hearing lots of seminars.
Nema pitanja takvog. Let the hearing go on in that way.
Thank you very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai. Hare Krishna.